I think most of you know me from a couple of years ago, so it's good to be back from Kansas City and to be among those that don't know me. I'm Father Sly there. But it's good to be back here in the heartland, from the heartland, here to the Mid-Atlantic area again. And it's good to be back. We're on vacation, visiting David and Rebecca, and Sandy's with me, so we got the whole crew here today, and it's wonderful to see you all. One of the things about moving back to the heartland and living in Kansas City is it brought back memories when I was there before, which was back in the 1990s and 1980s. And during that time, in the 1980s, I was a pastor of a parish in Manhattan, Kansas, the home of Kansas State University. And for anyone here, Frank Gentius, that went to KU, Kansas University, I'm sorry about that. But anyway, Kansas State was one of the finest agricultural colleges in the country, and my parish was filled with some of the professors. And it was a great learning experience because I was a kid from the suburbs, you know. I thought that a cattle guard was a guy guarding cattle. I didn't realize that it was a barrier in the road for the cattle not to get out. Those are the kinds of insights that I had concerning farming. So out there, I got to go to school a little bit and learn some fresh insights. And it really helped in some of the parables because Jesus used the agricultural model a lot. And for example, here in the one with the parable of the sower, we really could call this the parable of the soils, because the emphasis, while it is on the sower, is intrinsically on the soils themselves, the way that the soil is prepared to receive the seed. So there are several things here I want to point out, because Jesus himself gave us the interpretation of the parable. So let's kind of do a little bit of an overview of three basic things that we see in this parable that's really important. The first is that God is extravagant. Do you notice here that the sower went out and he sowed everywhere? He threw seed on rocky ground. He threw seed on ground that was full of thorns. He threw it everywhere. It didn't matter. This is where I went to school with one of my ag professors from the church. And one of the things that he said to me after I had preached on this particular passage, he says, you know that what he did here, what the sower did, goes against everything that we teach in agriculture. He said, when you take a serious approach to farming and the farming economy, you want to get the most yield for the least amount of seed. And so you don't waste any of it. It only goes where you know it's going to have the greatest yield. He said, whenever I hear this parable, it reminds me how much God loves me. Because he throws it everywhere. Whatever it is that is the condition of the heart of man, that gospel is being broadcast. The seed of the word is being thrown everywhere. And we find ourselves receiving, no matter what condition we find ourselves, an invitation to respond, to reply to the gospel. Pope Emeritus Benedict, in his 3-volume book in Jesus of Nazareth, talks about the fact that, well, this is autobiographical for Jesus, that he was already living out this mission himself in the world because he was scattering the word to anyone and everyone that was there. Well, the other thing that we see about this in the indiscriminate, lavish, wonderful sowing of the seed that just is thrown everywhere is that Jesus again is pointing out the fact that we have the freedom of our heart in terms of the condition in which we find ourselves when we receive the word. Here he talks about the fact that some is rocky ground, some is thorny ground, some is, rich soil, ready to really receive. And it's important for us to realize that the garden of our heart and the condition of the soil is really our responsibility. In the Catechism, this is how it's put. It says, God willed that man should be left in the hand of his own counsel, so that he might of his own accord seek his Creator and freely attain his full and blessed perfection by cleaving to him. What a wonderful gift that we've been given. With our freedom, however, in addition to the fact that we have the opportunity to cleave to the living God by our own choice, we also have the choice for evil. That due to concupiscence that continues to foment in our hearts, we do in fact have the opportunity that our hearts may be overgrown with debris, with weeds, with rocks. And in that kind of condition, even though we receive the word from him, we really have a hard time for the seed to grow. So the real responsibility, the real burden that's on those of us who believe, is to prepare ourselves for the seeds of the gospel that come. And when we find our hearts ready to receive, God comes and works in us in a marvelous way. One of my favorite writers is Saint José María Escrivá, who in his little tiny book, The Forge, said this. He said, we have the job of making sure that all the circumstances at time and place the word takes root, springs up, and bears fruit. So in all of our circumstances of life, what José María is trying to tell us to do is to be prepared to receive the word. Be in a position where that word can, in fact, bear fruit in us, to grow, to flourish. And there are blocks to that, unfortunately, because our soil conditions can really get kind of out of the norm. They can be packed down like a path by a hardened heart who has fastened himself or herself to a situation where they are not in any respect really open to the Lord and his word. Then there's the rocky ground. This is the ground where objects of delight and other things replace the soil that is there to receive. And we find ourselves embracing those rocks of delight, so to speak. And then there's the thorny ground, where the distractions of life kind of turn us this way and that instead of allowing us to be facing the Lord and to receive his word. Now, the beautiful thing is that even though our hearts are overgrown, even though we can become overwrought with the stresses and the circumstances of life, that there's a water of grace that can come to us and help us to be ready to receive. And that's the beautiful thing, is that in this parable, whether you have walked away from the Lord or whether you are trying to be with him, but yet you find your heart overcome with all of these different challenges and obstacles, we have the opportunity to overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, everything that gets in the way. Part of it begins right over there in the confessional. When you go to the Lord, and in confessing your sins, he comes and reaches down, and that rock, that thorn, that hard ground is softened through the water of grace that flows from Jesus through the priest. There are so many ways in which we find ourselves being opened and readied to receive his word. There is a story that I heard about this priest. His name was Blessed Bartolo Longo. This was back in the 19th century. Now, he was raised in Italy, raised in a Catholic family. And as a young man, he began to depart from the church, which is the story of, unfortunately, many of our young people today. He left the church and ended up becoming a satanic priest, consumed by evil, worshiping evil, giving his life to propagating the doctrine of the devil. One day, he came across a Dominican priest. And for some reason, he felt that he just needed to sit down and listen to this priest. And as he listened to the words that were being spoken, he found his heart alarmingly softened. He didn't know what to do with that. He came home from hearing that priest and found himself getting his rosary out and beginning to pray, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." All of a sudden, some of the thorns began to move away. Some of the rocks began to be broken up. And he found himself returning to the church, where he dedicated his entire life to the teaching and the spreading of the seed of the word. How good it is when we find ourselves again being captivated by the love of God that is there for us, constantly throwing his seeds of love into our lives. He wants us to say yes. It was back in 2005 that St. John Paul II was preaching on this very, very gospel. He was preaching on the sower and the soil. And at the end of his homily, he prayed a prayer with the people. And this is what he prayed. "Spirit of God, make us ready to receive your visit. Make faith in the word which saves grow in us. By the living source of the hope which blossoms in our lives, be in us the breath of love which transforms us, and the fire of charity which impels us to give ourselves to the service of our brothers and sisters." So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.